I'm Adam Dixon. I play the guitar and bass, sometimes piano, harmonica, sometimes mandolin.
I'm Tim Holtzclaw. I play the keys and the guitar. I do a little singing.
I'm Chris Cardwell. I play the drums and I play the drums too.
And harmonize.
Sing like a bird.
It's true.
I'm Jared Bertels. I play the guitar, bass, the mandolin, and the keyboard occasionally.
I'm Travis Hare. I sing and play guitar and a little bit of harmonica.
A lot of harmonica.
Project, what was the genesis of this? How did this come to be?
Travis?
Tim taught me how to play guitar, and like 2 years ago.
The most frustrating moments of my life.
Yeah, I learned like 3 chords and started writing songs.
What was that, a year and a half ago?
Like about 2, probably, yeah. I would bring those songs to Tim, and we'd play together, basically, and we thought we had something good, and so we invited Jared in next because we knew he was an expert on the guitar and a good friend. And he liked what we were doing. And then and next thing you know, we recruited Adam and Chris. And we played a couple open mics, and Chris heard us and liked us. And we just kind of, by luck, fell into Adam and pretty much formed our band at that point.
I think we all have a similar... We're all pretty hardworking people, which sometimes... you know, is troublesome for practice and shows and things, but I think we found a common ground in that we all work very hard in different areas of our life, but we find this common ground in some of the music that we play.
Serious day jobs, all of you. You're all professionals. The rock and roll ethos, or the myth of it, is you cop a certain attitude, certain wardrobe, that kind of stuff. And a lot of these folks would say, well, you know, they haven't committed themselves to the lifestyle, right?
I did just put my 2 weeks in at the head shop.
That was Chris, by the way.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the lifestyle is real just hype until you actually get to the point where you're professionally, you know, like really, really at the level where you don't have to have another job and you're almost obligated not to because you're so obligated to be recording all the time or playing all the time or touring all the time. And at that point, I think then you can really embrace the quote unquote lifestyle. You know, the rock and roll, like, attitude.
Tim's an EMT, right? Yes, sir. Jared's an architect. Travis is a teacher. Adam is a botanist, horticulturist.
Call me an environmental technician.
An environmental technician.
ET.
Yeah, an ET.
So say that all of a sudden the record takes off. Would you leave that behind or put that on hold?
I'd call it just for me. This is Tim speaking, by the way. Call it hold. These are areas of our lives that are not entirely separate from the band. They influence, I think, how we came together and how we what we put into it. There are lyrics and sounds that come out of us that wouldn't if we sat on the couch all day.
And proclaim the lifestyle of a rock star. The interesting part of the conversation the other day was that I think the thesis of it all was that we decided that our music and our relationships with each other are far more interesting based on our exterior existence as individuals and what we bring to the table separately, which make the music all that more rewarding. And the process of becoming part of a band together, you know, just makes life more interesting and each person more complex, so keeps it interesting.
And I don't know, like, what we would write about if we were just working the odd job, you know, like flipping pizzas or burgers or whatever. I don't know.
And
not to,
we eat a lot of pizza.
Absolutely. I'm not degrading those choices. But, you know, I think that the lifestyle that we lead, like you were saying, definitely influences what we do. I work at a preschool, and so I'm surrounded by 4-year-olds all day, which I think are the most creative people in the world, and I think that you know, definitely rubs off on me. And I don't know if I would see myself like being able to write things that were of any substance if I didn't feel like I was actually doing something relevant with my life.
Yeah, totally. And for me, my daily existence kind of helps me add energy to what I'm doing. Kind of, it gives me a reason to rock out. Kind of like, for me, I'm outside all day. Especially, it's kind of like the epitome is like during the summer when it's 100 degrees and you're in the sun all day. And then you go to practice at 7 o'clock and it's still hot, but it feels cool to you because you've been in the sun all day. It just adds energy for me. It's like kind of taking that energy of the extreme Kansas weather, and then I'm playing the bass and sweating still.
You mentioned Kansas, Adam. I think that's something that we all agree we want to, you know,
sort of embody.
We don't even have to try. I mean, I think it comes out in the sound.
Yeah, that's
we're not trying to sound like a indie New York band or anything, because you know, that's not who we are.
Well, Travis and Tim are like the song, like
the origins.
Originators. Yes, yeah. Travis and Tim.
I think that's a good way to put it, though. Planting the seeds, because it literally is just like pushing something.
Yeah, and I mean, what we come up with usually, like Tim and I sitting around the table, turns into this whole completely different thing, and we realize that when we write it, it really is like the shell of a song, you know, and it can change completely, but we have to put it out there, I think, and then everyone becomes very productive, and it changes, and we like it that way.
I think that the sort of what we've fallen into as far as the creative process is that they are bringing a shell, as Travis put it, and then the rest of us go through a process of deconstruction where we sort of back up, we ask them, you know, we figure out what the essentials are, what the sort of premise of a song is, and then we work back into it. And so
how would you reference your sound, or what have you been informed by?
I mean as far as like what we've heard from other people have been all over the place, but
I like Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd,
like
Coldplay.
Pink Floyd?
We were called Coldplay. We sounded like Coldplay once, which I completely disagree with.
We were the Pogues one time.
Yeah,
the Pogues.
Yeah.
Which I can hear a couple of those. But I think like things that do have that sort of rootsy sound and that are like lyrically important, like Neutral Milk Hotel, Sparkle Horse, bands like that embody this sort of like, have this feeling of, I don't know, somehow they sound rural.
Influences, I would say Yola Tango, Sonic Youth, and all the jazz greats.
Oh yeah,
my personal favorite.
You won't find us in the jazz section of your local store.
And see, I'd go more like old country, like Wilco.
Yeah, Wilco
and
is what
things like that.
I would say Wilco and the Walkman, sort of the attitudinally, you know, like
yeah.
they're kind of progressive in a lot of different ways, but at the same time they hold on to like real simple premises of their songs, and like
we hold Wilco up pretty high, all of us.
Well, I think it's the germination of like progressive rock music tied somehow to a more humble root, you know, that is sort of the rural aspect of it, or you know, it's the premise of a lot of the songs being, you know, the rhythm of the acoustic guitar or the piano, you know,
pounding away. Pastoral images,
yeah.
That Travis creates.
But there is a sort of progressive vibe that carries through. There's this sense of progress, I think, in a lot of the songs on how they march through.
I think there's also a sense of urgency. I don't know, just listening to our, you know, to our music, trying to listen to it objectively, I get, you know, and if you read the title, the seasonal aspect of it, you know, there are extremes, and there's a sense of urgency because, you know, the next season is a lot different than this one.
Chris, Kyle Valley Project just released a CD. Tell us about it.
Wow, we really jumped right into it. We kind of banged it out. It's more of a I wouldn't say we recorded it as much as we like caught it. It happened in one sort of 10-14 hour session at Black Lodge in Eudora. It ended at, you know, 4:30 in the morning, and you know, we're the only people awake in the town.
Thank you, Nick Day.
Yeah, Nick bore with us on that, and I think that was reflected in the way we kind of recorded the songs. It evolved on its own. The process dictated kind of the changes that we made. We had a great influence from Nick, and he really informed us to do a lot more than we had originally thought. But yeah, it kind of, you know, we had really raw versions of you know, at least three of the tracks that were really beefed up, you know, with effects or with, you know, just different kind of compositional elements. And I think vocally on the album, we really found the three of us, like we really found a good arrangement of harmonies and like levels. So I think that the sound on the album is exactly what we try to do right now. Versus Summer EP. You can get it at our shows.
At the Love Garden.
At the
soon.
Love Garden soon. We're going to drop some off there, drop some off at Keefe's. And we're also working on getting our MySpace hooked up to it. So we're going to do CD Baby, and they're going to hook us up with... you will soon be able to download it via iTunes, via eMusic. You'll be able to purchase it on our MySpace.
Right now, probably if you're hearing this and you want it, send an email.
Yeah.
By request is perfectly fine.
So that was Tim. Tim, if you're on stage or about to go on stage and you get a call to go to a fire, what are you going to do?
Well, as you know from the last time we met, I take off running.
Would you really? Or if you're in the middle of a show, would you really ditch it?
It's honestly, it's tough. It's kind of harkens back to your earlier question. Trying to balance these two parts of your life, they're important. You just take it into context. If there's a serious life threat, you know, and I feel like I can be of some help, I'd probably ask politely and throw money at my band members.
I think it would be beautiful, and I think that everybody in the crowd would love it if you did.
If you bolted from the stage in the middle of the
but you have to put the hat on first, and then run.
Thankfully, it's never happened, and you know, I just have to find times to just turn it off. Sometimes turn my pager off and really be in the moment.
Do you turn it off when we're playing shows?
It's on right now
because we talk about that.
It's just a hard juggle, isn't it? So how do you tour?
Well, we just started.
We don't tour.
How do you even consider touring, or do you just
it's on the. I think it's coming up. I think we'll do it.
I would like to.
Right now, I think it's on a weekend basis and regional. You know, like we could do shows in like Lincoln. We could do. I mean, if we hauled ass, we could do shows in Boulder, Denver, something like that. Texas, you know, just around the area, I think. At this point, that's the goal, I think.
Yeah, we want to branch out regionally by, I would say, next summer. I mean, ideally, we would be set up so that by next May, when Travis and I, Chris, are done with school, we'll be able to kind of take a refreshed look at it, you know, and see what our options are, see what we are capable of. And
a lot of it is, realistically, it's financial. I mean, unfortunately, gosh, I can't believe among five of us, nobody has a rich grandma somewhere. But we, you know, we scrape by and we take our paychecks and we put, you know, X amount towards the band. Yeah.
And all band money goes back into the band, like things we make from the show. This is the only time.
Do you have a band back again?
Not yet.
Or band fund?
We're working. We have
piggy
a band.
The band's piggy bank.
We, you know, we have to sell the CD just to make a little, you know, bring a little bit of money back.
Currently, we're losing 75.8
cents.
We're
losing money, but
no,
we
did. I think now we're making 75 cents per CD.
Okay. See, now, that's the big question. Would you be, how long will you be content to have this, to pay for this outlet?
As long as, for me, as long as I live in this town and everybody else stays in the town too.
Yeah, as long as there's, I'm looking at four other guys.
As long as we're together, I think.
Yeah.
We're all around. I don't see any reason to stop.
I definitely keep paying $100 a month. Or.
But Jared's always jetting off to Europe.
Jared's the problem. Yeah.
I'll be studying in Angers next August, so.
Chris is a problem.
I'm out for at least a semester next year, but.
And it'll stay on hold, and.
But we've done it twice. Like, Jared's was in New York over the summer. We just wrote songs, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good downtime. Jared was in Europe over the summer. We wrote songs, you know.
It's seasonal.
Yeah.
We hibernate.
Is original in music nowadays. You know, everything seems to be derivative of something.
Non-American music.
Well,
I don't know. It's
music from other cultures?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to be original in America.
But that's not original, like, in the sense of, like, I mean, Paul Simon, like, you know, taking African culture and making a record, he's still using something that already exists.
Right, not original.
But isn't all art building on itself in every culture?
Yeah, I would argue that it'd be like, it's that movie about the girl who grows up in nature by herself, and then...
Is that the...
Nell.
Nell. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be hard. You'd end up like Nell.
Are you all maybe not disgusted, but skeptical with popular culture now? Are you?
Very, yeah. I would say jaded.
Jaded?
Jaded with it. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, I think the, as a point of origin of what is original, I think that the thing that intrigues me is the concept of the DJ and sampling the music, and just the concept that the only original thing to be created today
is splicing together and creating new compositions of pre-existing sounds. And while, you know, you think of DJs and, you know, you can think of a lot of other things that can happen as far as music, the jazz or classical, but beyond the DJ realm, you know, every sound has been created, every note has been played. And so for the DJ stance is it's all been done, so, you know, they pull in the element of surprise and how they mix things together, and I think that's really interesting.
Danger Mouse's Gray album, which was brilliant, you know.
Philosophically, though, isn't there Jay-Z? Could you see the possibility of a kind of a nihilism in that? Where
absolutely, that's there's modernist thought is based on nihilism. That is the thing. Like there is nothing new. Like, and we accept that. And at that point, it's defeatist. But we've come out of that.
No.